code number CAU89-40. Cause 89 presents Towards Negative Entropy, a Strategic Plan. Recorded live at the 1989 National Conference held November 28th through December 1st, 1989 in San Diego, California.
This is track 5. Very interesting topic that's going to be delivered by Bill Morisi and his colleagues at the Winston College in South Carolina. Dr. Morisi has been working for some time on a theory of entropy and how entropy applies to the communications and telecommunications issues on campuses. I found his paper to be fascinating, and I think you'll enjoy it as well. Joining Dr. Morisi is Betty Laster and Brown McFadden.
Good morning. Our topic, of course, is towards negative entropy, a strategic plan. This came about actually from last year when I was introduced for a paper on microcomputer networks by Betty, and she happened to mention my background as a biomedical scientist about 20 years ago, and began thinking about what we were doing on the campus and treating the campus as a living system. And may I have the second transparency? And I actually began thinking that some of the very things that I worked with 20 years ago were applicable today. As a matter of fact, even more so. What we're going to do today is that I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction to the presentation. We're going to define our campus environment, looking at the kinds of disorder that we actually have, and it's applicable across the board. We are a medium-sized college, a small, medium-sized college, but the same principles might be applied to any kind of system. We're going to talk about our strategic plans, and then about the plans versus the reality, in the real sense of things, and then we're going to talk, I'll sum things up for us at this point. But I would like to define a couple of things at this point. Brown, may I have the next transparency? This is just approach can you move it up a little higher, Brown, please? All right. We find it useful to think of our campus as a living system, okay? Analogous to single-cell organisms, humans or societies. We then may apply by analogy certain ideas from the fields of systems and information theory and thermodynamics. In actuality, in many cases, when they deal with living systems, there's another area called cybernetics or feedback systems that's actually applied to. Now, we haven't actually taken it in an engineering sense and measured it, but we do have some conceptual frameworks we'd like to apply to it. We use the term system as a set of units with common properties. The interactive relationship between the units are ones of constraint, control, and dependence. The campus, therefore, is a living system. It's all internal organizational units, from the academic departments to the office of the president, that function towards common goals and a predetermined structure or hierarchy. This living system is comprised of individuals and groups who process information for the system. In this article, information is considered a measure of the order or form of communicated or transmitted media, and not the media itself. The media is considered to be that matter or energy which is capable to be transmitted and assimilated, includes such forms of data, such forms as data, voice, video graphics, and security signals. The law of degradation of energy, or the second law of thermodynamics, suggests that disorder, disorganization, lack of patterning or randomness is a natural progress of a system from an ordered to a disordered state. Information is a negative index of uncertainty or disorder. For an organization to progress in an orderly fashion towards common goals, individuals, groups, and units within the organizational system must be able to acquire meaning or significance for processed information. It is through meaning and acquired knowledge that living systems change their processes to adjust to changes in their environment. Without information, media will be utilized, but no meaning or knowledge acquired. Information provides the power of organization. Lack of information results in a natural disorder and the subsequent degradation of the organization. Brown, may I have the next transparency? Winthrop College has as its mission two fundamental aims: the maximum development of each student as an educated person, and two, the preparation of students for professional careers. Education is the effective transmission or providing of knowledge and skills to students. In a college, which is a living, open system in competition with other similar systems, if it cannot process information effectively and efficiently within its internal units, it will not be able to reduce the internal strain that such systems experience. The system's organizational and operational integrity will diminish to the point of dysfunction. Biologists many times associate this with aging and mortality. We at Winthrop College are attempting to provide the means by which various media may be effectively ordered and communicated, and to maximize the transmission of information. We plan to do this in two ways. One, the establishment of standards for the control and transmission of media and information, and two, the creating of a campus-wide communications infrastructure for its transmission. The vehicle for effecting this change is what we have developed as our network project team. And to give a little background on how this network project team was developed, in 1980, the president of the college had appointed a committee to be with its guidance, a guide to installation of an in-house computer. I should say, would to ensure all administrative units desiring computer assistance would be served. It was just an advisory committee, okay, to make sure that everybody was being taken care of in the administrative arena. By 1983, a number of microcomputers and microcomputers packages had been proliferated on campus. The administration became a little bit concerned and then recommissioned the committee, saying, okay, now we would like you to review all computer purchases on campus. I was on that committee at that particular time, and Betty Laster and Larry Mittman from the library. And we had no formal authority, and the committee was not regulatory, and in a sense, really, we kind of dissolved in function over a period of time. We had a new president in 1986. As a matter of fact, I might mention that although one had passed away, we've had five presidents in as many years at Winthrop College. In 1986, the president appointed a computer utilization committee. It was comprised primarily of several members, myself, Betty, and Larry Mitten from the library, to just review the computer needs of the campus. Well, this had been done time and time again. And in our discussions and in our work, we had thought that we needed some more attainable objectives, something that wouldn't just change on a day-by-day basis. We began discussing among ourselves the very fact that we had no way of communicating information between and among ourselves. As a matter of fact, we were just stuck in our own physical domains, and we could not even extend beyond the buildings or the several buildings that we were tied to other places on campus. So the committee decided it would define the problems that we had and do a preliminary analysis of data communications or lack thereof on campus. Tom, may I have the next transparency? The study would define the scope of the project, the information service centers. We would actually define the information service centers on campus, and the issues of standardization of services and campus communication. With this information, we went to the president. We actually did a little bit more work with that in regard to some special AutoCAD diagrams showing the campus situation, which we will show you later. The president and some of the senior officials were quite impressed with our particular problem, and they then delegated us to start and do a feasibility study for a campus network. And at this point, I would like to have Betty pick up.
In preparing the feasibility study, we found that our disorder fell into two distinct categories that we called technical and non-technical. We further concluded that the non-technical, as it usually does, gave rise to the technical. We defined the non-technical disorder as just simple lack of coordinated control. So taking a look at some of the elements of disorder, we have three different kinds of computers and three different computer centers. They all use different protocols. They even use different transmission media. It's not uncommon to find more than two types of cable and one segment of conduit on campus. Secondly, we had an unplanned cable plant. It evolved as opposed to being the product of any sort of strategic planning, and as a result, there was absolutely no provision for growth or change. No provision was made for the integration of voice, data, graphics, video, or security system, surveillance system transmission. And there was no single source, and this was really a problem, to define where that conduit existed on the campus. We had insufficient conduit in that in some areas where we were trying to make connections, we had to go via telecommunications line because of the absence of conduit or any other such means for direct connection. We had single-purpose wiring. The telephone system and its administration operated independently of either of the three centers, and of course this precludes any sort of careful planning for multimedia-type transmission. For off-campus communications, special lines had to be requested outside the telephone switch. Now, to graphically depict for you those first five elements of disorder which we will relate to the cable plant, we did a schematic of the Winthrop campus about 18 months ago in which we identified the information resource centers which we have indicated on this schematic by the solid yellow marking. We indicated the communications lines by various types of grid lines, the heavy grid line indicating RS-232 cable, the broken, the dot-dot-dash representing a different type of cable that is used in the Academic Computing Center, and then which you probably cannot see very well, the broken red lines indicate the telecommunications that were necessary because of the absence of conduit. Now, that was the situation 18 months ago. We knew of some planned growth, so we were able to take that information and predict what the campus would look like as far as its cable plant was concerned within 2 years. And we came up with this, and you see that we've added some more lines. And then we said, in 5 years, if we do not change the way we're communicating in this cable plant, it's going to look like this. And as you can see at this point, it begins to look a little bit like a plate of spaghetti. If you will look in the upper section, we have three different types of cable going into Sims Brown. That's three different types of cable going into one building, which is the way we would be forced to do it, given the situation that we have right now. Now, going back to the disorder, another element of disorder that was of concern to us was the uncoordinated PC hardware and software purchases that were being made by our users from a variety of vendors. There were absolutely no guidelines in existence for the acquisition of this hardware and software, and as a result, a lot of the users went without support because we have limited staff in the three centers that we've defined, and it was not possible to serve all the plethora of packages that were being used on campus. Now, we were able to make statements about this type of disorder, this last statement that I made, because of an information technology census that we took in the summer of 1987. We found at that time that we had approximately, at that time, 240 display devices attached to the three computer centers in some way. They constituted six distinctively different types of terminals. We had over 14 types of remote printers. And we had 365 personal computers representing 13 vendors in 24 buildings. Now, we knew that 170 of those personal computers were in PC labs, but we had no earthly idea of what was going on with the remaining 195. Another element of the disorder dealt with the complex processes that were required for the computer centers to communicate with each other. We made independent attempts to communicate without any coordinated planning for this, and as a result, the methods we had to employ and still have to employ were extremely complex and, as you can imagine, rather circuitous to say the least. The absence of standards is the last thing, and it probably had a more of a negative impact than any of the other elements of disorder. We just had an absence of standards of any type. And of course, this results in limited functionality, a low level of service, and increased budgets. Now, going into the next section of our paper, We're going to be defining the campus environment for you. We will be discussing briefly our organizational structure. We will show you again those information centers that we were forced to define. We will discuss briefly their roles on the campus and briefly discuss as well the end-user information resources. Now, two important factors that must be taken into consideration which influence the formulation of systems objectives are the organizational constraints and the people who use the system. A current term that is used, in fact, I think it's a little overused at this point in time, but it was the best one that I could come up with to define exactly what I'm talking about, is organizational culture. Organizational culture actually deals with issues of people, time, money, and facilities, and how each are allocated within the organization. The organization actually defines itself by the very nature of its existence. In other words, where does it put its people and its money and its time, and who gets the facilities? So it follows that an understanding of this nature of existence is paramount to any planning for change on campus. Because of this maxim, a determination of the culture of our Winthrop campus was in order. So we felt that a good starting place would be to identify the resource centers, determine who we served, and determine the organizational niche that each of us occupied at Winthrop. Now, I'm going to share with you Winthrop's organizational chart. This is the formal one that appears in the Winthrop fact book, and it's not necessary that you read any of this. I would only like for you to be able to see the various hierarchies within the organization and be able to pick up the colored lines, which I will comment on. This is your traditional college university organizational chart. Board of Trustees through the president, right on down to the VPs and so forth and so on. Now, we have indicated Management Information Services, which is just another term to describe administrative computing, by the blue. The lines emanating from that little box will lead to the various areas that we serve on the Winthrop campus. We indicated the Academic Computing Center with the red, and of course, likewise, the red lines indicate the areas served by academic computing. The green box indicates library information systems in Dacus Library, and the line indicates the area served there. Now, the one thing that I would like for you to notice about this is that if you recall Bill's comments at the very beginning of this about the campus or the organization being a living system and how it was necessary to properly feed each part of that system in order for it to have healthy growth and so forth and so on, you can see that that feeding is not being done, obviously. There's no coordination, no communication between those three centers. And as you can see, there are a lot of areas who do not receive services from any of us. There's no interoperability, there's no compatibility, and as a conclusion, we can safely say that we're just not doing a good job of feeding that information across the broad spectrum of the organization. As a result, as Bill pointed out, we face dysfunction. Now, defining a little bit more closely those computing centers, let's take a look at the role of the Academic Computing Center, which has historically existed to provide tools for students and faculty in coursework requiring computer facilities. They provide support for research as well. They provide management of curricula directly associated with academics. And then, of course, they provide the communications link to other colleges and universities across the nation. Management Information Services, on the other hand, provides for those processes that are common to all colleges and universities. Our biggest support area is the student information system. Second to that would be in the area of financial accounting. And then we provide some limited support with, at this point, 1.5 staff members for word processing, spreadsheets, business graphics, and PC support. Dacus Library houses the library information system, which provides access to the library holdings. The research can be made by author, title, subject, and keyword. And of course, they provide access to the shelf status of books. They provide online access to journal inventories. Now, as for the organizational niche, which was to have been the next thing that we wanted to take a look at, I've blown up this part of the organizational chart for you. You can see that academic computing and library information systems eventually report to the academic vice president, whereas management information services eventually reports to the vice president of business and finance. So we clearly, if you take into consideration the president, we clearly are in the fourth layer of the organization, and as you might suspect, this creates some problems for us. Now, as for our end-user resources, I will say no more than to reiterate some of the information you saw on the slide or the transparency we had a moment ago. We have approximately 240 display devices attached to three different computers. The end users have 365 PCs, 170 of them are in labs. On 195 of the PCs, software is being utilized. We're not sure how many packages are out there. As we speak, in fact, we are in the process of conducting another census to determine how much, what variety of software we have out there. But before I got up here this morning, I could personally count 20 at least of the various packages supporting word processing, spreadsheets, and database. And I'm not even counting those specialized application systems that some of the users are running on their PCs within your offices. Now, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Brown McFadden, who will be discussing the strategy. And as you can see, we obviously need some.
All right, thank you, Betty. I hope you can hear me. I'm going to talk from down here, if that'll be all right. Betty said, I'm Brown McFadden. I'm the systems engineer from the Academic Computing Center. I'd like to talk to you quickly about strategic plans that Winthrop is currently addressing. And we've identified two goals that we wish to take up, at least from my point of view. First, and probably most critical, is the issue of standards. We wish to establish standards across the board for all computing and communications, telecommunications needs. Secondly, we'd like to establish a backbone network across our campus to allow connectivity as well as interoperability for our users. Now, I'll just quickly go over these. I'll come back in a moment and address them in a little bit more detail. Goal one, establish information standards. First objective I have on here is software standards. Most important, specifically with multi-vendor software running across the campus. Secondly, we want a common or standardized hardware network architecture. Third, specifications for data exchange between peer-to-peer as well as user-to-peer. And finally, our service center standards, what services are being provided for each of those. The second goal is a campus network, and we've identified seven objectives. And I cut the bottom two off. There we go. Some days it doesn't work. Firstly, we'd like to define information resources centers. We've identified three of those. Identify communications environment, evaluate feasible networking alternatives, compare alternatives on a cost-benefit basis, recommend organizational structure for the network, develop specifications for requests for proposals, and implement the system in phases. Our idea on phases are two phases to be built over a three-year period. The key for us is going to be standards. And for standards, we want to ensure that our standards are consistent. We want to ensure that they are flexible. And we want to ensure that they allow for maintainability and flexibility over the life of the systems. In doing so, the first standard we'd like to establish, get the right line, is our software standard. What I'd like to speak to you here about, and I've gone into, I'm trying to, I think I skipped the slide, excuse me. This is what happens when you try to drive and talk at the same time, you know, you chew your chewing gum. But at any rate, I'd like to address plans and reliability, our scenarios. The key points I want to talk to you today would be objectives that we have reached so far, and what adjustments in our plans that we feel are necessary. Doing that, we're going to look first at our standards. First objective, and all three objectives of this are we're proposing to finish at the end of this fiscal year, July of 1990, is our software standards. Okay, we want to ensure that our standards are compliant with current technology. We'd like to ensure that they obey international standards, ISO and OSI model, as well as TCP/IP. We want to ensure that they're flexible and that they will bend and lend themselves well for future expansions of the network. Secondly, our hardware standards. We want to ensure that they are compliant with the current equipment. Slight problem there, everybody's trying to get new equipment, so it's very difficult to set hardware standards. So they need to be flexible enough to allow for most any vendor. We are a highly multi-vendor environment. We've looked at different techniques of connecting. Right now we're pretty much focusing on Ethernet type of technology, a band, a bus type band, as well as the IBM token ring. FDDI for the backbone would be high on our desire list. Third objective is the exchange of data. And currently what's happening here is that we've gone to all three of our service centers. We're having the software troops there look at it and say, what can you support? X25 packeting, whatever. And we're trying to determine what can be used for that. That's ongoing right now. Fourth objective, and it's always a little bit hard for me, is the standard for the service centers themselves. This will specify what services each center will or will not provide and the methods for connecting it. Secondly, well, my second goal is to install a campus-wide network. I got them off this time. And here we would like to define define service centers. Okay. Right. Okay. What we do is basically run a survey. The survey finished in December of 88, and we've identified that on our campus we provide computer services in three forms: academics, administrative, and information in the form of the library. So we have identified three service centers: the ACC, the MIS, Management Information Services, as well as Library Information Services. Secondly, our survey has continued on into the area of communications. We've done a reasonably good survey. We've gone around and determined how many PCs are out there, how many phones are out there, how many phone lines are cabled, how many computer data lines are cabled. We've even gone to the Rock Hill Phone Company, who supplies campus-wide phone service at this time, and determined how many trunks they have and how many spares. So we have a good feel currently about how the hardware plant, the cable plant for the campus is set up. Evaluation. Objective three is some alternatives. Well, awkward, as you're all aware, there are a great number of vendors out there willing to network your campus, and we've talked to a number of them as well, gone to see what people are using around our state in the North Carolina, South Carolina regions of the country. Currently, we're leaning toward somewhat of a hybrid system where you connect your LAN and some form of a data switch. And we're looking along those ideas. We find that the estimated cost of having the phone company provide it on a data switch or voice over data type of environment, the tariff that we're going to pay in a continuing basis can be quite high, even though the initial setup cost is low. And we feel that we're justified of keeping this area open so that we can either go with the hardware system and the phone company, or rewire the entire campus. And in the long run, we feel like either one can be a good cost advantage. The fourth objective is alternative in that the cost benefits. Back in June of this year, we submitted a special grant request to the state of South Carolina. As part of that, we estimated the cost of communications and installation of the LAN. As part of those costs, we have incorporated the hardware proposal, but we left it pretty well open. We proposed the cost to be somewhat of a hybrid system where it could be a LAN or a combination of LAN and a digital PBX. Objective five is organizational structure. As you probably will guess quickly, is that this is a highly political issue. Nobody wants to talk about who's in their working force. You know, they want to hold their little regime. So getting personnel to manage the network is going to be somewhat awkward. We've taken two steps in this direction, however. One, in a proposal for funding to the South Carolina Commission on Higher Education, we did allocate funds in that proposal for two people to run the network, one being the network manager, the other one being a technical support person. We've also had discussions with the Vice President of Academic Affairs, which my department reports to, as well as the President of the college, trying to determine so that they're aware of our sensitivity and needs for personnel to run and manage the network. The next one, Objective 6, develop specifications for request for proposal. We're currently have run our inventory list for communication equipment. We have identified the service centers, we identified the spare cabling and what cable plant are available. Identified conduits through our physical plant where fiber optics should be run and not. And we've drawn a few conclusions. And if you may, I'll put up a few of our what we consider the recommendations for a communication network is going to be. Communications requirements, full connectivity, be able to talk to anybody at will. Support of multi-vendors, obviously since our campus supports, no two systems are alike, if you will. Support of industry standards, the ISO, OSI, as well as TCP/IP protocol. Network management capabilities will be essential. We're a small university. We do need the ability to manage and maintain our network. Connection to remote features, facilities. Here, what we're interested in is connection to, say, internet or bitnet. Make sure that we do not lose that connection we have currently. Signal optimization, obviously a budgetary issue. We want to make sure we can afford and make the most use of what we put out. The ease of reconfiguration, maintenance, and expandability, obviously with a small company with limited resources, it's essential for us to be able to keep the system up. We cannot afford to bring corporate offices and bring in tech support people all the time. We'll have to be able to do it ourselves, so it must be easy. Finally, and in my opinion, of course, one of the most important factors is that we would like to see a fiber optic backbone. This would keep us up to state of the art. It allows good reliability, a lot of noise immunity. The South Carolina area is very bad about having lightning, so the insulation properties of fiber would be extremely important to us. Secondly, we'd like to address the issue of end users, since they're the ones that are going to make use of our system. And as we've always said, you know, you've always heard people say, make it idiot-proof, or KISS, keep it simple. I'll leave out the rest of that. Menu-driven network, as simple as possible. We felt like menu-driven connection and swapping between nodes would be extremely important. The initial screen would like to be menu-driven. Equal access to all devices, be it a workstation, connected Ethernet, be it a high-speed terminal, be it a dial-up modem pool. We want anyone to get on there. We have a mixture of Macintoshes and IBM, so we do not want to exclude any user. Peer-to-peer communications between the three service centers. Make sure that they are able to transfer data in a very efficient manner. System adaptability and growth. Be able to deal with future connections and how the system grows in the future. We don't want to lock ourselves into a proprietary system. Heterogeneous connection and communications. Obviously, everyone's going to be using something different. Different type of PCs, different types, the Mac versus the IBM versus the DEC versus the Data General. Everybody's slightly different. We must allow for that. Interoperability, a good buzzword, but quite important. The fact that I can connect you to my host processor does not necessarily mean you can run it. The whole point is to connect and use, and we want it as simple and as straightforward as possible. Resource sharing, if you need to do typesetting, if you need to plot, we want you to be able to get to it via the network. File transfer, both from host to host as well as from host to user, will be critical to researchers as well as students developing papers in which to download key information. Electronic mail is a favorite for all users. Our systems are very inundated with mail on occasion as well as calendaring. Provide that on a campus-wide basis. Obviously, standards are going to be critical there so that the passing of data, the standard say is X400. Accessibility and reliability. If the network isn't up, it's of very little value. We want it as reliable and as available to the users as is possible. And obviously the last one that the users would like, and that we would like to ignore as much as possible, is the remote or campus, off-campus logging. Everyone always loves to be able to do work from home, especially on small campuses. We want to provide that as an option. And this time I'd like to turn the presentation back to Dr. Moresi and let him summarize where we stand today.
Thank you, Ben. I'd like to basically summarize, what we've gone through and what we've actually accomplished. I mentioned earlier that conceptually we relate our campus organization to a living system, a system that utilizes energy to do useful work. The better organized the system is, the greater is its so-called information content and its ability to use energy to do constructive work. Our actions over the past 2 years have been to develop a plan and specifications for a more ordered structure for media such as data and voice, and for an appropriate means of transmitting these media both within and external to the organization. What we have done, we have set the plan into action to accomplish this task of defining major information resource centers, surveying the campus for central processors and their associated major software systems and for communications equipment. We surveyed for voice and data lines on a room-by-room basis in most campus buildings. We surveyed for existing underground conduits and subsequently developed AutoCAD diagrams of the campus graphically depicting our results. We have invited interested vendors to present their networking strategies and make site visits to academic institutions and corporations. All this was done in an attempt to help us better define our information resource problem or disorder. The data has been analyzed. Problems identified in the structure solutions provided. We have submitted analytical reports and provided communication demonstrations to the upper administration. In one particular situation, we had our telephone company, we had Northern Telecom, and Lear Siegler devices in there, and we actually were showing them how we could communicate between the three host computer systems by way of a demonstration across existing lines on campus. We planned, with continued support of our administration, to be able to affect changes in our organizational environment that will allow us to progress to a state of negative entropy. With these changes, we may continue to grow in functionality, productivity, and complexity with the ever-increasing information demands made on our organizational units. At this point, if you have any questions, we'd be happy to entertain them in any way.
I had mentioned earlier that actually we've had quite a progression of presidents come through, and this was our first opportunity, for example, where we had direct contact with the president's office via committee. And when the team was started with this project team in 1986, we did talk to the then president, and she was going to be looking into ways for which we might be able to get some funding. And they were thinking that perhaps it might be external funding through the state on a one-time basis. And we did ask for $2.1 million actually last August. But you know more about this. So step 12.
Yes, we have the best person in this room to tell you about that. Lynn Metcalf works for the South Carolina Commission on Higher Education, and she happens to be attending this. Just comment briefly on step 12 point of funding and what it is, Lynn, if you will, if you don't mind.
Actually, what we're going to try to do as much as we can, even if we have to take it by bits and pieces, which we're beginning to do, as long as we get the support directly from the president. We just have a new president now that actually came down and visited with each one of our centers and has us, he requested a
a recommendation for us on the standards aspect of it. The start of that, that he wanted it by December, if not by January, on how we may begin as a unit, the three service centers, to set up standards for use of both software and hardware on campus and how we might hope to best implement it. He wants something like that for us in his office by December or January. So he's just picking up on it. He's very interested. He's come from several campuses in New Jersey where they just recently installed some networking systems. So he's very much interested in what we're doing and try to implement some of the things we've had in some way or another.
If I may just add to what Bill said, one of the things we decided early on was to leave the funding issue alone, since we had been encouraged to pursue this thing, and we are not in the area of finance, and we felt like that our administration would attach the appropriate people to the problem of financing. We are getting the encouragement from our president, and that's about all we're interested in at this point in time, and of course we Bill pointed out, did apply for the funding, and it's funny, we had to travel all the way to California from South Carolina to hear the answer to that, because we hadn't heard formally yet from Lynn on it.
We didn't cover a lot of things, but we do have a lot of technical information that we've given, and we've actually provided several vendors, and including right now, we have Bull Information Systems and Treecom that want to come in, and actually in one case with Bull Information Systems, they want to come down and actually give us some kind of a proposal where they could come in and do a thorough analysis of the campus for a set fee where they could recommend a particular system. And 3Com has taken the data that we do have and said that they could even make some very general specifications on how they feel perhaps their possible solution would be. So in many occasions where we've dealt with our vendors and we handed them the data that we did have, they were quite impressed with the kind of work that we've done over the couple of years. Some of our biggest job is to try to get the, since we haven't had any strong top-down concern in this particular area over the past several years, primarily because of the transition in presidents over the time, that all different areas have been moving in different directions, and we're trying to really to bring ourselves and to bring them together. Matter of fact, quite often we have conflicts among ourselves, and we're foreseeing what's going to happen when our three centers have to come down and who's going to be, you know, in what situation. I know the librarian said he's not going to be running Fortran programs on his computer. I told him, I hope you're not going to be, but we're running into these particular problems right now. But we feel it's critical and important to have the library, MIS, and the academic community in some form, in some way or another, related and tied together. And we feel that we should have this information set. I constantly hear about the fact that the hierarchy is changing, and I tried to look at it by way of some information theory and systems theory about how the network and the network hierarchy might fit into it. And the closest thing I can get is the chart that Betty had and say, okay, let's look and see if we could tie these together and order the media such as standard protocols and how we might make the information or make the structure of the campus better together, both by its hierarchical form, which you're going to need, but also by the way that the information has to flow in a special manner, in a special way. In other words, it has to flow to everybody and access to those people who need it when they need it almost immediately. We're not doing that right now. Any other questions? Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. One.
Are you speaking of organizational structure? We're very aware of our problems, but as you might suspect, we have to be extremely cautious about how we approach them. We realized early on that it was a political football, so to speak, to start talking about how we should be organized to support information technology. And what we hope to accomplish is by having our act together and providing the factual information such as we've shared with you today, and we have many more facts that we have gathered that we did not share with you. We are hoping to get the attention of the administration, and we want any forthcoming change to be their idea. We did get into the situation, as I pointed out, the non-technical disorder. I was trying to say that. is because of the type of organizational structure that we have.
As a matter of fact, to get this far, when the committee first started a couple of years ago, when we started talking about the network project team, one of the faculty members, intended as it may be, wanted to recommend that we make changes in the structure of where the computer centers are located and who they'd be located under. And I, as a matter of fact, I had to submit two reports to the president since I was advised that I was a chair and not a head of that committee. So I submitted one, what I believe was the politically astute way, saying that I believe that, you know, recommendations had been made as far as the organizational structure of the service centers, and that it should be considered on with regard to information and communications on campus from a top-down and not from a bottom-up situation. And then I submitted the second report by the faculty member as a supplemental report, letting them know. And I honestly believe, because I do provide my superior with a report of everything that does go up to the president and inform him what's happening, that some of the things that we had had and as far as we've gone, we would have been stopped if we had gotten ourselves mired into that particular problem. But we did do, I did do two things, and we provided the administration now with the structure for making decisions of that kind if once and if they get into that particular position. And the need for it, okay? Hopefully that'll be devoid of personality involved. In setting up the plan for the Step 12 procedure, we actually set up a network project team, which we didn't define under any particular organizational place, and we hope that the administration would then look to do that and set it up. And the other thing is we did, so we worked through the Vice President of Academic Affairs to the President, and we did talk both to the Vice President of Academic Affairs and to the current President about the organizational structure in a very diplomatic way. We told them that this thing would not be affected in the way that we're structured and organized right now, efficiently. And the things that we've put together and showing you right here actually indicates the difficulties and the problems that we're having in trying to accomplish some of these things. I could tell you in our circumstance, but I think, you know, it could also be transmitted, go across the line. If I understand your question, in my particular circumstance, now I've been at Winthrop for 5 years, and I'm under the dean of the School of Business Administration. We're a nationally accredited institution, and also computer science exists in that department. Well, we evolved in the School of Business Administration. The dean is a very knowledgeable, very powerful person, and knows about the power of being able to control and be able to work with computing information resources. He, if I may put it in very analogous and biological sense, he sort of had the labor pains of having the baby. And I don't believe, and this is only my interpretation, he's that anxious to let it get out from under his control because he may not have that much of a decision as far as the total allocation of resources. Our funding then comes through, for example, the School of Business Administration. He gets a set amount of money. Now, Betty has developed in finance and worked in things that she has, and I don't know that their concerns are that much academically oriented, nor do they see the overlap of where we are. We do have intersections between Betty and myself at the Dean's area, where academic and when we have this set, because some of the set theory and some of the things we worked at, there are intersections at the Dean's area where both academic and administrative computing come together. There are many occasions, I do have some terminals out in the administrative building, but I have situations where they pull down data from Betty's system in the Dean's area and then want to get at my computer to where it has SAS and other information or has communications to the University of South Carolina to analyze the data. And then reports are then to be resubmitted back up to the administrative arena. Well, they have to do that in two different systems. In any case, they don't see that yet. They truly, our administration gets up to see that. And they haven't budgeted. So part of it has to do where funding is allocated and where they want, where their special interests lie. And I believe almost, and the library, I honestly think, in their situation, even though we've brought Larry Mittman on and with us, and he seems to be going with us in that thing, but his concern, too, is that perhaps he might lose some functionality to academic computing or other areas if he somehow or another gets tied to us, and if he has some kind of a system where they're all tied, and all of a sudden Oz goes down and we may have to use his system. So there are special interests, and people, I believe, who have come up and know about the computers know about the power, truly the power that controlling that information has. And I believe that's it. And also the budget allocations in those areas. And they're not interested in letting them get together because of sharing of these resources.
One thing, you wound up your question by saying, what do you suggest? I think one of the problems, and it's not just us, I think I can speak to the situation at most of the universities or colleges I find, is this a failure on the part of the senior level of the administration to view the information technology function as a whole. And to give you what we're trying to accomplish, and what I would recommend, is to very diplomatically and without sounding negative, over a period of time, change their thinking so that they do see that information technology is a common umbrella covering a number of technical services on the campus and should be coordinated in every what organizational structure they deem, whether it be a VP of information resources or not, every what they deem to be appropriate. So you can change your thinking on it without sounding negative.
That's the approach that we're
taking. That's exactly right.
Yeah, this approach that we're taking and the things that we're doing is that we're trying to educate them truly in the use of, or how integrating these systems might be more functional for them and truly for the school as a whole rather than their individual interests.
Thank you, Bill.
The
presentation.
This concludes our program. Thanks for listening.